This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome to One-Stop FPL with me, Andy Johnson. In today's episode, we will take a look back at Game Week 2 with a review of all the results and key performers. I'll give you my Star of the Week and Flop of the Week. We'll then take a look at Game Week 3. We'll run through the fixtures. I'll give you some informed players to consider for potential transfers. We'll take a look at captaincy, any differentials, and finally, I'll run through what I think will be my likely team for this Game Week. Right then, Game Week 2 review, and we won't dwell on it too long. It was pretty low scoring all round. I ended up with 46 points. I can tell you that half of those came from just two of my players, Mitoma and Estupinan. The only other player that returned for me in my starting 11 was Ollie Watkins with just the single assist. Everyone else blanking, including Captain Haaland. I suppose that doesn't mean too much damage to overall rank. But I suppose it was probably an indication of things to come when the Friday night fixture kicked off Game Week 2. That was Nottingham Forest versus Sheffield United. Many FPL managers opting for Matt Turner in goal ahead of their more expensive options, and he failed to keep the clean sheet. Forest ended up winning 2-1, and yet again, Awoniyi was on the score sheet. On to the Saturday fixtures now, and Liverpool beat Bournemouth 3-1. A missed penalty from Mo Salah. He did score with the rebound, but that obviously took the edge off, especially for those Salah captainers who will have been eyeing up this fixture since the beginning of the season. Defensively, Liverpool did look pretty suspect, couldn't keep the clean sheet, but going forward, lots of attacking FPL assets, and I think Luis Diaz in particular looking very lively. A pretty harsh red card for McAllister in that game, but he will not be suspended, as in the middle of this week, Liverpool successfully appealed that red card decision. Wolves lost at home to Brighton. Brighton with successive 4-1 victories. João Pedro this time, though, was benched, and in his place came Nciso. He delivered with two assists. There was a great goal from Mitoma with an Estupinan assist, and then those two reversed roles with Mitoma supplying Estupinan. Solly March on the score sheet yet again. That's three goals in two for him. Tottenham continued their open attacking football with a 2-0 home victory over Manchester United. Whilst they look good going forwards, Tottenham are incredibly open defensively, gave up lots and lots of chances, and perhaps Manchester United should have been ahead at half time. But unfortunately for Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford owners, they were both pretty wasteful in front of goal. Manchester City beat Newcastle 1-0 at the Etihad. A Julian Alvarez goal from a Phil Foden assist. Foden looked absolutely magnificent in this game. Really, really dangerous. Created so much playing in that central role. And he is going to be under serious consideration for many FPL managers in the coming weeks. And it was a rare blank at home for Erling Haaland, many people's captain, including my own. Fulham lost at home 3-0 to Brentford. It was Mbeumo's magnificent form that continued. He got himself on the score sheet, as did another Brentford attacker with great form, great numbers, and good fixtures coming up, and that is Wissa. Fulham not looking particularly dangerous going forward, and things probably aren't going to improve anytime soon with Alexander Mitrovic off to Saudi Arabia. Aston Villa recovered from last week's defeat with a 4-0 victory over Everton. The biggest thing to note from this game, however, was that Ollie Watkins, the most popular FPL asset at Aston Villa, is now off penalties, it would seem. Just the one assist for him for winning that penalty, but it was Douglas Luiz that took the spot kick. And it was a bad day for Jordan Pickford owners, the Everton goalkeeper, with a zero-pointer performance after giving away the penalty and conceding four. West Ham with a huge 3-1 home victory over Chelsea. Goalkeeper Areola, many people's £4 million keeper option. He saved a penalty. That was from Enzo. who is apparently on penalties in the absence of Reece James. It'll be interesting to see after that miss if he keeps those duties. Chukwuemeka got the goal for Chelsea, although he did then go off injured. Also of note, James Ward-Prowse made his West Ham debut. He is Mr. Reliable when it comes to FPL. 2 assists immediately for him, and fullback Aguirre with both a goal and a red card. And finally, rounding off game week 2, we had Crystal Palace 0, Arsenal 1. An Odegaard penalty was the difference in this game. Interesting to see Odegaard taking the penalty. Perhaps Saka is off penalties, although Arteta has been quoted as saying that it wasn't something that was discussed and he was surprised that Odegaard took the penalty. No start again for Gabriel. We will have to start thinking about whether or not us owners need to sell him. Tomiyasu was sent off with 2 pretty harsh yellow cards. We'll probably see a few more of those as referees clamp down on time wasting this season. And finally, Oleksandr Zinchenko returning from injury. He was certainly an FPL favourite from last season. Right then, on to my star of the week. And a couple of honourable mentions first go to Spurs goalkeeper Vicario. Some great saves from him earned him a 13-point return. Solly March at Brighton got 15 points as his goal-scoring form continued. But it has to go to a player who isn't in my team, but I'm certainly going to try and find a way of getting him in, and that is Brentford's Mbeumo. 2 goals this game week and a 16-point return. On to flop of the week now, and there were a couple of candidates. Erling Haaland, many people's captain, he blanked at home, which is quite rare to see. Saka didn't return either against Crystal Palace. And Matt Turner, many people's first choice goalkeeper this game week, failed to keep the clean sheet. But my flop of the week goes to Bruno Fernandes. A 1-point return for him. He got booked for dissent and failed to score from an absolute sitter, a completely free header in the box. So Bruno Fernandes gets flop of the week. Right then, on to a preview of game week 3. And the deadline for this game week is Friday, the 25th of August at 6:30 p.m. UK time. That's 90 minutes before the first fixture of the game week. And that is Chelsea at home to Luton. I'd imagine there'll be a fair few managers waiting for early team news ahead of that deadline on Friday night. I'll quickly run through the rest of the fixtures for the game week. Bournemouth take on Tottenham in the early Saturday kickoff. Arsenal host Fulham. Brentford versus Crystal Palace. Everton versus Wolves. Manchester United versus Nottingham Forest. Brighton versus West Ham. Burnley versus Aston Villa. Sheffield United versus Manchester City. And Newcastle take on Liverpool. So it's looking like pretty inviting fixtures at home for Chelsea, Arsenal and Manchester United. Manchester City with that away tie against newly promoted Sheffield United, another team to target for FPL assets. A few players to consider who are certainly coming into some form at the moment. Luis Diaz at Liverpool. He started 2 in 2 and he's got 2 goals in those appearances as well. Solly March at Brighton. He was a very popular pick last season and it would appear his form is continuing into this season. If he can avoid the rotational risks that he suffered from towards the end of last season, he would certainly be an interesting option. And Phil Foden at Manchester City. In the last game week, he picked up 1 assist, 3 bonus points. He's looked really good in the first 2 games. Now in that central role in place of Kevin De Bruyne, does look very, very appealing indeed. Another player who I would have been recommending this game week with a really good run of fixtures coming up is James Maddison. However, we probably just need to wait for any late injury news. He did leave that Manchester United fixture in a precautionary protective boot. So we'll just have to keep an eye on that one. But James Maddison is in good form, getting forward, creating a lot of chances for Tottenham. On to differentials now, and I'm going to give you four names that I think could really help you set yourself apart from the rest of your mini leagues. These are really low-owned options that not many people have caught on to just yet. Starting off with James Ward-Prowse, who's recently made the move from Southampton, where he'd been a really reliable asset in previous seasons. He's just 1.4% owned now that he's joined West Ham as a 6 million midfielder. Now, he's a little bit cheaper than some of those 6.5 options that are very, very popular at the moment. He's already registered 2 assists on his debut, so James Ward-Prowse is one of my first differential picks. Another is Diogo Jota at Liverpool. Now, he is a little bit more expensive. He's 8 million. He's 3.3% owned, though, and I guess that's down to fears of rotation at Liverpool. However, he has started the last two and he is returning some FPL points. A slightly differential defender now, we've got Rico Henry at Brentford. He is a fullback. He costs 4.6, so he has already risen in price, so he's starting to gain popularity, but he's still just 5.5% owned in the game. He does take up some pretty attacking positions, and Brentford have really good fixtures coming up. And finally, an attacking option, and it's Alvarez at Manchester City. At 6.5, certainly feels like a bit of a bargain if you're already on an Ollie Watkins and you're a little frustrated that he hasn't returned in his first two. You could save a bit of cash by moving on to Alvarez instead. He is less than 8% owned, and with Kevin De Bruyne injured, Alvarez's risk of rotation does reduce significantly. Moving on now to my likely team for game week 3. Manchester United double defence returns for me, with Onana and Luke Shaw having that home fixture against Forest. Completing the back line, I have Ben Chilwell and Estupinan at the moment, with Gabriel my first option off the bench. The midfield five, currently the same: Martinelli, Bruno Fernandes, Mitoma, Richarlison and Saka. However, I am thinking about changes to this midfield. I've got 2 free transfers this week, and the 2 players whose positions are under threat in my starting lineup this week are Martinelli and Richarlison. I'm considering dropping one of those Arsenal midfielders. I've already got Saka, but I do think Martinelli could come out. He has been subbed early a couple of times, so he does have a rotation risk. And in his place, I'd be really tempted to bring in Phil Foden. City with really good fixtures coming up, and Phil Foden looks in great form. And then Richarlison is someone who I'm also considering selling. I really want to try and get Mbeumo from Brentford into my team. It feels like Richarlison is the obvious player to switch out for him. Unfortunately, Spurs do have really good fixtures, so there is a bit of a risk there. But Maddison was the key Tottenham asset I really wanted. And now that he's got that injury, I also feel that could impact the potential for returns from Richarlison as well. And finally, I'm going to be keeping faith with my 2 first-choice strikers, Ollie Watkins and Erling Haaland. I've seen a few people tempted to sell Ollie Watkins after just 2 games. There is the possibility of bringing in someone like a Alvarez for Ollie Watkins, but no knee-jerk reactions just yet from me. I don't think I'm also quite ready for a Man City triple up just yet. Well, that's it from me for this episode. Good luck to everyone ahead of game week 3. The deadline once again for everyone is Friday, the 25th of August at 6:30 p.m. UK time. So don't miss it. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter or X at Andy J Audio. Thank you for listening. Good luck to you all. And I'll speak to you again next week.